Hi there, and welcome to PodRocket, a web development podcast brought to you by LogRocket. LogRocket helps software teams improve user experience with session replay, error tracking, and product analytics. Try it for free at logrocket.com today. My name is Paul, and joining with us is Yagiz Nizipli. He is a senior software engineer over at Sentry, and I'm sure everybody listening to this podcast has used Sentry. And we're going to be talking about something that, you know, relates to something everybody touches today. We're going to be talking about parsing URLs, millions of them, ingestion. It's used everywhere. It's actually a little deep topic, and we're going to be stepping into like drastic improvements that Yagiz has been able to explore and bring to the table. So excited to get into it. Welcome to the podcast, Yagiz.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for inviting me to this awesome podcast.
I'm glad we got the title of an awesome podcast. Hopefully we live up to your expectations here. I mean, yeah, we're talking about URL parsing millions of URLs a second, and it's relating intrinsically to performance. Why are we talking about URL parsing? If we're talking about faster software, the need for faster software, which I'd like to get into as well, but why URL parsing? Why did you decide to tackle software performance from this angle?
For people that don't know my background, is that I'm a Node.js technical steering committee member. And my main goal for the past 2 years is to improve the performance of Node.js as a runtime in general. And one of the most used components in Node.js is URLs, especially in ECMAScript modules, ES modules. It's widely used. Anything that touches file URLs is based upon URLs. And we as developers have this assumption that URLs are not a bottleneck in production systems. And I personally really like to break those assumptions and show the world that we don't need to accept slow code and slow systems. So the easiest way to do that is to tackle the hardest challenge that I could think of is URLs, because it looks easy, but it's extremely hard in practice.
So you're tackling performance. You want to make the runtimes faster. Yeah, we're in the battle of the bands. We're in the battle of the runtimes now. We got Dino and Bun. And so are you trying to improve the runtime of the native Node.js runtime?
Yes, okay. That's correct. So right now, the current status of Node.js is dead by 1,000 cuts. And URL is one of the most major issues with performance. And in order to solve this challenge, I need to develop a new library with the help of Daniel Lemeray to release and get used by Node.js, which developed specifically for the limitations of JavaScript runtimes. And that was my intention.
Why is targeting specifically the software side of making this faster so important now?
So as there's this influence that's caused by Dino and Bun that Node.js is slower compared to them in specific benchmarks. And before that, I was working and trying to influence people to be more aware about writing performant code. To justify the reasoning behind optimizing URLs, in Node.js version 18.17 or 16, if you have two different APIs, GET requests, and one of them gets the URL and returns the URL, the other one gets the URL as a string, parses it with new URL, and then returns the href. So only parses the URL. The difference is 10%. This is the bottleneck that we had to pay before Ada, the URL parser library that I've developed with Daniel Lemire. And a lot of people assume that this was a small price that we had paid. And this was not limited to Node.js or C++ at all. This was limited to the whole world. In the last 10 years, there isn't a single academic paper written about URL parsers in the world that focused on performance or stability or anything other than security. We also written a paper and called Parsing URL Parsers Per Second, Parsing Millions of URLs Per Second. So I recommend reading it as well.
So if you're tackling this, and you said 10%, was it like a 10% hit?
Yes.
When you just parse it and bring it back? Okay.
Yes.
Does that feel high? I guess I'm trying to frame it in my mind, because I know this was a big improvement that we're going to talk about later down the line. But
so if you only parse a single URL, it's 10%. If at that same URL, if you parse it two times, it's a lot more. And What people don't know is that whenever you call import or whenever you call any path functions or whatever you call file system and Node.fs modules, you somehow get interacted with URLs. But this is all implemented inside Node.js core, and people don't realize that they're calling new URL and they're making a C++ call from JavaScript. And in general, in practice, the difference is a lot higher. For example, with the development of Ada, fetch parsing, the fetch undici, became at least 2 times faster just by the changes of new URL. So this is the impact of real-world applications that most people assume that it's negligible.
Impact of real-world applications from something like a 2x improvement. One of those improvements might, you could argue, is like complexity. Do you think that complexity, does it get much better with something like a 2x improvement, a 4x improvement on your stack?
If you ask this question to, I think, 10 different people, you will receive 10 different responses. But I care about performance and writing quality software that I think working and tackling performance-related issues result in increased maintainability and increased maintenance. So you write simpler functions, you write more direct functions, because in order to tackle a specific function, you need to write the most efficient and most simple and the least instruction-used function that you could ever think of. This means that you need to write it as clean as possible. So in reality, I think writing better software, writing faster software results in better software.
Let's move a little bit into some of the improvements that people are seeing with like this rethink of URL parsing. We talked a little bit about why we're getting into there, some of the factors about what maybe inspired you and some of the desired outcomes. Yagiz and me are both looking at this little like sticky note we have here of some of the bullet points we're going to go over. And one of them is a 400% improvement overall since like earlier Node.js versions. So if we're talking 400%, Yagiz, is that like Node from the prehistoric days, or what's our frame of reference there?
It is version 18.16 to version 20. We replaced the URL parser in Node.js in version 20, and then we backported to version 18 on 18.17. So 18.16 doesn't have Ada, and we basically compare 18.16 to 18.17 and 18.16 to version 20, and we came to this conclusion. Actually, not me, but one of the Node.js technical steering committee members did a thorough benchmark about all modules inside Node.js when we released version 20 and made it LTF. So the 400% improvement justification comes from that specific benchmark. But in reality, after version 20, we made lots and lots more improvements. And I think it's a little bit more than that, but I don't have any scientific proof right now to say anything further on this.
We talked about a 2x improvement. We have Cloudflare engineers using Ada and reporting a 22 times improvement in their parsing for Cloudflare workers. Cloudflare workers, if you're listening, you haven't used it, it's their own version of Little Lambda. You can have a TypeScript server or endpoint that runs. Can you talk to me a little bit about how that is so high, Yagiz? That yes. Seems crazy high.
So the issue is that Node.js is written in JavaScript and C++. So the cost, whenever you call a new URL, you hit the bridge between JavaScript and C++. And that bridge, that communication has a cost, just like in network latencies, because of serialization, because you're passing a string and you need to serialize it. But in Cloudflare Workers, we don't have that because Cloudflare Workers is written in C++. And I assume that you don't go through the same steps. And one of the Node.js technical steering committee members, James Snell, and is also an employee at Cloudflare, just recently replaced Cloudflare Workers URL implementation with Ada and got a 22 times faster output. But what's also funny about this result is that James is also initially the author of Node.js URL parser that Ada replaced. He developed this maybe 8 years ago. And we replaced it with Ada right now. And right now, he's also contributing to Ada and replaced the Cloudflare workers as well.
And for anybody listening, every time we say Ada, that is because we didn't like formally double click on this fact, but Ada is the thing that Yagiz and his team was building. And the name is special, right, of Ada?
Yes. So Ada is my daughter's name. And I wanted to leave something for her to listen, see, hear, to read maybe 20 years from now. And what other way of doing that rather than what I do best is engineering. Ada comes from there, and Ada names, the name that we gave to our daughter, comes from Ada Lovelace, which is behind the name for Ada programming language. So Ada Lovelace, for those who doesn't know, is that she is the first female programmer in the world. And Ada also means island in Turkish language, so there are lots of reasoning for that.
So we talked a little bit about the shiny statistics that we can read on paper about Ada and what you and the team have accomplished, like the 22 times faster URL parsing, the 400% improvement, you got a 2x improvement. What I would love to step into a little bit is actually your experience building this, Yegiz, and some of the technicalities, if we could step into them. Right before we do that, I just want to remind our listeners that this podcast is brought to you by LogRocket. So similar to Yegiz and the work that he does at Sentry on ingestion and reading everything that's happening, whether it be from your loggers and such, LogRocket does this kind of at the application layer. So you're sending events from the DOM, the actual DOM tree itself, and everything that's happening, and allows you to do some pretty powerful stuff. So you could use AI to find and surface issues faster that you may not have seen. Stuff like heat maps, your usual tracking, but it goes above and beyond, so you can spend more time using their developer tools and more time like coding than debugging stuff in the console, because that's probably where none of us want to spend most of our time. Unless you're Yegiz and you're tackling the root of all of our problems by parsing our URLs faster. So if you want to go check out LogRocket, and you really should, head over to logrocket.com today and try it for free. Like I mentioned, I want to talk a little bit about your experience building this thing. Primarily, like you said, it's been like 10 years. There's maybe been no papers on performance specifically with the URL parsing. Maybe there was like low-hanging fruit when you first stepped in there. Like you said, it's very difficult. I'm sure there was very high things on mountaintops to go get as well. But like when you step into something that hasn't been nurtured or looked at in a while, you're like, wow, I can't believe it is like this way. And I know there's some stuff you did better hashing and stuff, but what about the low-hanging fruit? Is there anything that shocked you? Anything that surprised you? Anything that you would like to share that was maybe a little humorous?
Yeah, so it's funny because I initially started working on URL parser because James opened an issue and Node.js repository saying that we should investigate whether implementing the whole URL parser in WebAssembly results in a much more performant way than the current C++ version. So I implemented the whole thing, Rust, and compiled into WebAssembly and added to the Node.js core and did a small benchmark. The reality was shocking because WebAssembly result, like we all assumed that WebAssembly is super fast and so on and so forth, but it was 2-3 times slower, even though I was using the latest technologies and so on and so forth. But apparently there was this funny case that if you want to transfer string data between JavaScript and WebAssembly, then you need to go through the serialized process, just like in JavaScript to C++, and you need to use an API called text encoder and text decoder to decode and encode messages between a shared memory so that both WebAssembly and the runtime that executes it uses at the same time. Then after this failed experiment, I implemented the whole thing in JavaScript. And 2 years ago, I gave a talk at NodeConf about this, Road to a Fast URL Parser in Node, which was the title. But because of V8 limitations, and I think this is not a specific limitation to V8, but to just-in-time compilers, it wasn't as fast as I expected to be. It was 20 times slower than the C++ version, but again, it was slow. And then a couple of months later, I met with a professor called Daniel Lemire from Canada, who was an expert in SIMD, single instruction, multiple data instructions. And we started tackling this whole problem once again from start and written in C++. So this was the third time that I implemented the URL parser. So I had some background knowledge. He had these expertise that only a handful of people in the world had. And we made a great team, which resulted in Ada. But in reality, the URL parser is defined by a consortium called WattVG, which is extremely hard to tell you right now without looking into the website.
The Web Hypertext Application Technology Working Group.
Yes. So this is a group that's founded by browser engines, and they have this version of URL specification. So before browsers, of course, we also had a URL specification, which was defined in RFC 3956 or 86, maybe 10, 12 years ago. So the WebVG URL specification is a living document, and it's an implementation-based URL specification, which means that it actually tells you how to implement the URL parser. But what's funny is that the people that wrote this URL specification didn't think about performance while writing the specification. They cared about stability and the correctness of the algorithm. So we implemented ADA from scratch in C++, and we followed the specification one by one. And at that time, it was maybe 20 times slower than curl. So it was the slowest URL parser. It was slower than the JavaScript version. So then in the course of 6 months, me and Daniel, we spent a lot of time optimizing, finding shortcuts, and rereading and re-implementing several parts of it, which became the current baseline of the URL parser.
That's really interesting how you guys tackled that. So you started with the spec to make sure you were compliant, and then you went on to the real engineering of being novel about it and how you can add things.
Yes. Gains. So what's also funny is that there's this test suite called Web Platform Tests that give a proper test suite for browsers so that they have a common implementation across different browsers. But in reality, Web Platform Tests, specifically URL tests in WPT, had 78% test coverage, which consisted of maybe 5,000 tests. And we had to support all of those specific edge cases. And that's why we wanted to first have 100% test, not test coverage, but success ratio in the existing tests so that we can move forward with it.
Out of just sheer curiosity, is there anything in the spec that you felt was like redundant or not needed? If you were to rewrite the spec, would you not include it? Or maybe it's on the other side of the coin. There's more stuff that you think should be included.
Not included, but there are some parts of the URL specification that's extremely unperformant and not well taught. For example, if you use any of the URL parsers right now, except ADA right now, and if you go write https://google.com, it will take 250 nanoseconds to parse it. But if you have a slash at the end, it will take more than that. It will take 350 nanoseconds, 400 nanoseconds, just for parsing a slash statement, slash character. The root cause of it is that URL parser specification is a URL state machine, which means that you have a starting state, and then according to the input that you are parsing, the characters, it goes to different states. And whenever, after https://google.com, whenever you see a slash, it goes to the path name start state. And path name start state has its own impact on performance. But if you deliberately check for if there's a slash at the end, you don't need to go to path name, but you just append that slash to the string, then you have a short path, which makes your code, particular code, a lot faster than all other competitors. So this was just an example that we did, but...
Oh, so you guys actually threw that into your rewrite as an optimization?
Yes. Okay. There's maybe more than 100 different optimizations like this in ADA. But in reality, what people don't know about URL parser is that the URL specification is written specifically for browsers. This means that whenever you go to a toolbar in Google Chrome, you write for www.google.com, and then you occasionally press space, right? If you go to slash yes space nizipli, but this resolves into Yale's percentage 20 nizipli, which is the encoded version of it. So prior to Google and prior to all web browsers, we didn't have this in the URL specification. This was deliberately done to make browser experience better compared to the previous one. So this particular decision or these kinds of decisions has a lot of toll on performance. Because right now, there is no way for you to parse the URL without making any allocations, because you need to check if it includes a space character or not. And if it includes, then you need to allocate a new string that translates into percentage 20 for a space character.
So if you have percent 20 changing into, it's a space you said, right? So all of the URL encoding and stuff, that's also part of, you have to implement this stack top to bottom as well.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And what's funny is that URL specification depends on also IDNA specification. And DNA specification is a lot harder than URL specification. It's a lot vague and hard to interpret than URL specification. And all of the other URL parsers out there in the world depends on ICU library to have proper support for two ASCII and two Unicode functions. And Ada is the first one that that doesn't have any dependency at all. It's all written in C++. And because of that, we save hundreds of megabytes of bandwidth for every installation because we don't need to incorporate ICU anymore.
So it's written in C++. We're talking about using it in Node. This is where my kind of knowledge of how your body of work can be used and strewn throughout the world here. But what other types of environments can we use your piece of technology in? Is it only C++ and Node?
No, we wrote it in C++ and we provided a C bridge for it. And we created libraries for Go, Python, and Rust through that C bridge right now. In Python, Ada is faster than Python's URL parser, URL lib, by 3 to 4 times faster. In Rust, it is, again, 3.5 times faster than the URL parser of Rust. I don't have a benchmark for Go, so I can't provide that. But it's indeed the fastest parser for each of those programming languages, even though it's written in C++.
And speaking of other languages, if we're on a web development-centric podcast, a lot of people listening, though, are polyglots. They code in a lot of languages. But if there's something, if you were to like think as a web developer, put on the web developer's hat for a sec, and are there learnings of general data structure usage, programming paradigms that you could relate back to standards and status quo things that you see done in the web dev world that you're like, hey guys, you should think this way a little bit, or I experience. We didn't talk about how hashing, optimization of hashing helped with the URL parsing, but this as an example. Could it help people frame better web development production?
I think the current problem in 2024 regarding web development is that we all assume that there is only single computer that executes our code, which is the browser itself. And because of how technology is evolving super fast, we assume that all of the code that's executed in the browsers, the computers are extremely fast because it's an end user computer. So we don't care about certain issues like memory management or speed or execution or and so on and so forth. But in reality, this is something that we should think about, because the way that it's implemented, even though we have this distinguish between front-end and back-end development, JavaScript and Node.js gives you this possibility to share the code between back-end and the front-end world. And without caring about performance for one, we can't care about performance on the other. So there's this one take that we should take account into. And the other thing is that we should know that the user that consumes our web application, they also consume 10 or 20 different tabs or contents all over the place. And when you are sharing this pool of memory with all of those applications. And if one of them uses too much, of course, Chrome and other browsers kill that process or isolate them or in order to not affect the others. But you should know that there's a limited space. And with this knowledge, we can develop a lot faster applications, even though technically we don't have to.
And just to circle back, right before when we talked about the other languages, Iggy's, there was one particular optimization that I wanted to pick your brain about, perfect hashing and how this is leveraged in order to yield speed improvements. Could you also explain to me and the people listening, what is perfect hashing? On the flip side, what is imperfect hashing?
For those who doesn't know about it, there's this data structure called HashMap, which means that for a particular key, there is a value. And because of how, and depending on how your hashing algorithm is implemented, the collusion between different keys for different contents are widely different. So the collusion doesn't exist. For example, in our prior web development phase in 2010, we were using MD5. And we realized that for two different inputs, we could reach out to the same key. Meaning that if I pass yes to a hash function, it returns one. If I pass pol to the hash function, it returns one as well. So this is not something that we want. And because of that, we developed more and more complex hashing algorithms like SHA-1, SHA-2. And later we evolved this into more cryptographic algorithms because we start to hash passwords right now. So you don't want two different passwords to resolve into a single hash. This is the main cause of the hashing algorithms. In the context of URL parser, we had to check if a particular HTTP protocol is a special protocol or not. In the context of URL parser, protocol is the first four letters of a URL, which is HTTPS, HTTP, FTP, SSH. These are the protocols. And special protocols are the ones that we have a edge case for in the URL parser, URL specification, which is HTTPS, HTTP, file, and so on and so forth. So while looking at, whenever you are parsing the protocol, as I said, this is a state machine, we were parsing every character until we see a colon parameter in the URL. And then when you see a column parameter, then you assume that the starting point, which H, and the end point before colon is S, then we have an HTTPS, which is a substring of the whole URL. And we have to know if it is a special protocol or not, if we have an edge case for it. The easiest, the worst case scenario to match for this is to have an array of special protocols. And in worst case, you traverse that special list n times, which is the length of the array. So can we do faster than that? Yes. How can we do it? By storing it in a hash, meaning that if we have an object, let's say in JavaScript terms, if we have an object that has a HTTPS, HTTP, FTP, and the key values, and the value that we have true or something, then we could access this in O1. But in reality, you're also storing that dictionary data, and you're traversing it as well. One small optimization to move forward with this is that HTTPS and so on and so forth, you can look into the first character of the protocol, and depending on it, you can define the index of the array that you have. Let's say if it's HTTPS and it has a 5 character, then I take the first character's ASCII code and I make a mathematical operation on it, and then I came to a conclusion of 6, and the array is length of 7, so I take the 6th element and I say that, yes, this is a special protocol. So right now, I eliminated traversing through the element and by using a single instruction, which is using bitwise operations in order to find the correct place in that specific string. So this is how we came up with it. But yeah, this is one small optimization in the whole URL parser.
And that's interesting because it's on something that traditionally you read, you learn, it's 001, but you say, hey, realistically, there's still ground to be gained in this way, which is really interesting.
and the issue is that you have to implement this function in a way that it is inlineable by the compiler so that even though how much you call it, there is no toll in accessing that particular function in the address space. So we had to use a lot of tricky and smart decisions in order to make this as fast as possible. I'm pretty sure there are faster solutions out there right now that applies to a more generic solution into the problem space that I'm defining. But in the context of the special task that we were trying to do, which is this a special protocol or not, this was the perfect solution.
And just to make sure I understood what Yagi is, you said accessing the function in the address space. You wanted to make sure that it was local and it was quick when you had to reference it.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it should be a constant expression, const expression in C++ terms. It needs to be inlineable. It needs to be small enough so that the compiler inlines it, and so that calling it doesn't have any toll in performance.
I could go on for another like 20 or 30 minutes asking you about these really particulate areas that you and the team looked into. It's really fascinating, especially the fact that you guys looked at a O of one problem and decide to even further optimize this. It's really neat to hear how you guys were problem solving. Unfortunately, we are getting closer to our time limit that we have today. So let's step into talking a little bit about what is coming in the future. What do you guys have planned? You already mentioned next versions of Ada are already going to be better. There's things coming down the pipe. So can you talk to us a little bit about what's planned, maybe what's done in testing and stuff that's not planned, but it's just sitting in the backlog that's running around in your head?
With Node 21, we implemented two different versions of the URL parser. One of them is Ada URL, and one of them is Ada URL aggregator. The URL aggregator was focusing specifically for reducing the cost of serialization. So instead of having multiple components in the URL, like username, password, hostname, port, as different strings, we had one large string in URL aggregator that we allocated only once. And then we were storing the indexes, the start indexes of those components. So if protocol end index, then you can say that if you take the substring of href and zero to protocol end, you have the protocol and so on and so forth. This helped with serialization a lot. Right now, we have two different implementations in the code base because one of them is extremely easy to construct. One of them is extremely easy to set and get, to call the setters and getters, because you don't need to take the substring. You just return the string that's already constructed. With version 3, we are planning to reduce the implementation into one once again and make our job a lot easier, which is going to be a breaking change because Node.js and several other runtimes depend on the first implementation on several cases. And the only way to do it without making everybody mad is follow semantic versioning and do it in version 3. But on top of that, we still believe that there are lots of optimizations that we could do. And just quite recently, with the last several versions in Ada, we added URL search param support to Ada as well. So we are going to work on improving that as well. So more and more performance.
It's really interesting, like I mentioned, learning how you guys are using things like O of one optimization even at an even higher level, or how you're thinking about like taking the slash off the end. Is there some way that people listening, if they want to keep up to date with what the team is thinking of through GitHub, through blog posts, where you guys do a mind dump of these optimizations?
So from time to time, I try to write some blog posts about one of the most impactful optimizations that we did. I recommend reading to my blog about it. And we plan to create some first good issues for people to contribute to Ada as well, because this is an open space and I want this project to live for the next 20 years. Right now, there is a total of 28 or 30 different contributors in Ada. But the goal is to, if you want to aim for 20 years, then we need more contributors.
At 20 years, you're not allowed to work on it anymore.
That is the only library that I will work for after 20 years.
And Yegis, we'll link the blog below the show. So if people listening, you just want an easy link to click, go straight to Yegis' blog. We'll make sure to include that in the notes for the show. Yegis, it's been a pleasure talking to you and really peering under the engine hood of what makes Node great, what's coming in. Like every time there's a major Node version, I'm always wondering, what's going on? What are these guys doing that's making it better and better? And here we are. We have a firsthand look, one of the great minds behind like the improvements that nobody thinks about that really matter a lot.
So I'm going to share some small, not small, but big news with you and the listeners of this podcast is that there's a high chance that Node 22 is going to get a Node task runner, just like npm run, which is around 7 or 8 times faster than npm run start time.
That's huge. That's massive.
Hopefully. There's a discussion about not landing it or landing it, but hopefully, fingers crossed, we will land it in version 22 and it will be ready for consumption.
One thing that gets so exciting about the node progression is the improvement of tooling just built in. And I just stumbled because Emily was sending us a little note saying that we're going to have an episode coming up on PodRocket specifically about node 22 and some of the improvements. So stay tuned. I'm going to be listening in so that I can make sure I'm not up to date and left in the dust. But yeah, once again, it's been a pleasure having you. I will make sure to have your blog linked down below so people can keep up to date. And truly, Godspeed, continuing to work on this amazing improvement that you're bringing to our developer world.
Thank you. And thank you for giving me the chance to speak today. It's an honor to join.